In its 90 years, the ABC has collected the sounds and sights of Australia, from the centre of power in Canberra to the most remote Indigenous communities, documenting both everyday life and the moments that changed Australia. Now, over the last few years, we've seen our National Archive in Canberra come under enormous financial pressure, as precious audio and video material deteriorated because there were not the resources to preserve them in a digital format. And now the ABC archives are facing a huge threat, as 58 staff are facing redundancy over the next 6 months. And while much of the audio archives have been digitised, there are still huge amounts of video material and audio material that hasn't. But the real loss are the skills and experience of the archivists. To explain what skills an archivist brings to their job that cannot be done by a search engine, I am pleased to welcome two of them to the program. First, Marianne Considine, who worked as an archivist with the ABC from 1985 to 2002. And think about this, listener, Marianne was Late Night Live's first archivist. Also, Nicola Laurent is the president of the Australian Society of Archivists, and I welcome you both to the Little Wireless program. First to you, Marianne. Before we start, I know you knew John Pickup when he was station manager at Broken Hill. I understand that you were together in a rep group.
Yes, John Pickup, it must have been a difficult job for him as a broadcaster and as a manager of the ABC in Broken Hill, because that was it's a miners you've got to speak to. It is the management you've got to speak to, the women you've got to speak to, all disparate members of that society. But he was an ace diplomat. He was really, really brilliant. And he moved into that society and he hosted many, many events and also led, probably at that particular time, the repertory society as it was, as a director, as a producer, as an actor. And I crossed paths with him many times when I was there for 7 years. My husband was a geologist there. And he also became a member of the Brushmen of the Bush. And Tom offered a whole range of artists which continue their work one way or another in Broken Hill, including Pro Hart. And I remember him interviewing Pro Hart on his program. He made an amazing contribution to that society, and was would have been a difficult position to be in, to be across all those varied members of that society at the time.
As you know, there's a facsimile of Doctor Who's TARDIS in the foyer at the ABC, and we're all going to climb into it now and whiz back to the ABC in 1985. What were the archives like then, Marianne?
Well, I came into the archives in 1985 just as they were starting computerising the collection, and that was putting all the previous haphazard pieces of material that they had and bringing together all the index cards and the various folders, various bits and pieces they collected, and it was being put on the database at that particular time. It was the first time they'd been able to have a computer to be able to do that. Some funding had come forward.
I hadn't realised that from 1932 to 1970 there was no actual archive apart from what people had saved in their top drawers.
The BBC, which began a decade before in 1922, had always archived their material. But the ABC, for some reason or another, I don't know, you could guess, you could speculate why they didn't see fit to have an archive, establish an archive until the 1970s. Really, I mean, it's unbelievable that that happened. And you can only, as I say, you can only speculate as to why that may have happened. In 1985, when I arrived there, they had the money. They were actually putting the archive through. They had more technical operators to make sure the sound was broadcastable. And we had two wonderful people working there at the time, Christina Pender. She was in charge of all that computerization, making sure she was our editor, I would say, making sure that all proper names, dates, whatever, went correctly into that computer, and Jean Walker, who was a dedicated archivist as well. So when I walked in there in 1985, fresh from where I worked previously at the Australian Dictionary of Biography, it was up and running quite efficiently. Because of the dedicated staff, that handful of dedicated staff that was there at that particular time. Everyone knows that 1985, there was massive changes taking place in Australia with the Hawke Keating government come in, changing the economic profile of the place with its accords with the unions and a whole range of other social and political agendas that they were putting into place. It was a massive change, and it was brilliant that the ABC archives was there at that particular time to capture that and keep on capturing, you know, the rhetoric of Keating and the gravel voice of Hawke.
Yeah. I've always regarded the computer as the devil's tool, but I'm glad to think it has some useful purpose. Now, what happens on a typical day? What do you do when you get a call from the newsroom and you're told that Patrick White has died? What do you do?
Okay.
Well, how do you respond to that?
Well, now we're on computer now, so it's easier. But we probably have recordings going back before computerisation, and maybe we have to look through these folders and these card systems to make sure we're not going to miss anything from Patrick White. And we have to search through our database, our computerized database. We have to search through that. But we have to, first of all, we've got to look for for instance, he won the Miles Franklin, I think, the late 1950s and early 1960s, I think he won that twice. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature. And so you draw those out and see if you can get some actuality. Actuality is the key. That gives the authority in those his voice speaking about those particular things. But also, Philip, you have to look at the man himself. You can't just pull those items out. You have to look at that personality and his philosophy of life and how he viewed Australia. And so those sort of pieces you're looking for. And
so you've got to know the personal, the artistic and the political context.
You have to know this is not someone that can walk off the street and do this, really. It's someone who really, those archivists are really highly trained. They have to be across general knowledge. And we had we had linguists there. We had arts people there. We had even a woman there who knew all the titles of royalty. When we archived material, we had to make sure those titles were correct. And in the case of Patrick White, you have to not only just days and those awards, but you have to also too, Philip, you have to give some idea of that man. And it's the same with Thatcher. I think I was asked to do her at the time, not at the time of her death, I think I'd left by then, but at the time of her resignation. So once again, you've got to get those vital quotes out. Yes, you know, there is no society, there's only individual men and women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But also you have to try and dig a little bit deeper to see if in actuality she's talking about her philosophy, how she views the word. It's the actuality that really is the thing that gives authority. To give you a perfect example, if that phone rings and I pick it up and someone says to me, Philip Adams is no longer going to award koala stamps with
gum leaf clusters. Yes.
Gum leaf clusters. He's decided he's going. Marion, what have we got on the archives? How can we profile this man? We'll go back to his politics, his advertising agency time, his journalism time, his Packer time, and his film times. Now, they're only asking me for 15 minutes, Phil. And all this stuff with the late night live. So how am I going to do that? You've got to do that. I submit it and they say, oh, mostly okay.
I think I'll hire you as my personal archivist. Beloved listeners, you heard Marion mention someone in the archives who knew all the royal titles. Well, I know the royal titles too. And from Queen Marion, I want to go to Grand Duchess Nicola. How many people do you think, Nicola, does the ABC need to have? How many people are really required?
I think in the archives, the skills of the archivists and librarians who are already there are just so key and essential to the work being done. I don't think there is the capacity to reduce that.
A lot of the material has not been digitised yet, hasn't it?
No, I think there's still quite a lot to undertake in terms of digitisation. I know a significant digitisation project has been done to date, but there's so much material in the fantastic collection of the ABC archives that still needs to be done.
We're constantly told on this program and everywhere else, of course, that algorithms can solve everything and that artificial intelligence is the answer. But there must be limitations to these systems that are put forward to replace the human archivist.
Yes, very much so. I think the skills of people and technology go hand in hand. There are so many things that AI can't replace. I think for starters, it's the information won't be captured as accurately. At the moment, there are standards that are kept to ensure the quality of what's captured. When you're relying on AI, the material going into the system, the quality is unlikely to be anywhere of the same level.
What are the risks that you see in this bizarre decision that's been made by the ABC? What will it do to journalism?
Yeah, I think the key issue for journalism here is going to be some of the timely access to source materials and whether or not you can even find it with mislabeled or not labeled items. It's going to seriously impact the delivery. And we all know the ABC collection is of national significance, and we've seen the reliance, as you've been talking about on this program, for the 90-year celebrations of the ABC have been so key. Without being able to find that archival material, journalists can't tell the whole story. So that's got to impact the trust and quality in the journalism.
So the term archive might sound dusty to people, like some sort of tomb, but it's a living, breathing organism, isn't it? And it constantly has to change.
Absolutely. An archive is never static. It requires maintenance in the physical and the digital format. We have to preserve what we have, and we have to keep providing access to it in a meaningful way so that people can always find what they need.
Now, I'm going to give you both, you've got to share it, a koala stamp with gum leaf cluster.
It's not your last one.
How could I not after Marion's performance? Anyway, you've heard the voices, not from the archives, but alive and kicking voices of Marion Considine, former ABC archivist, and thank you, Marion, for archiving LNL back when we began. And thank you, Nicola Laurent, President of the Australian Society of Archivists, and that's your lot for the week.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.